Hi, my name is Jeff Pagano, and thanks for tuning into the Harpin' on Rugby podcast. HarpinandRugby.net is an unofficial fan site for Leinster and Ireland rugby, with write-ups of all the big matches and regular coverage of the latest news and opinion via Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and of course this pod. If you haven't already, please subscribe. We're on Apple Podcasts as well as a host of other platforms. The 2021 Lions tour might still be up in the air, but that doesn't have to stop us from picking our best 15s. So I've assembled a panel of six rugby fans, three from Ireland and one from each of the other nations. And since December, I've had them on the show one at a time to offer their selections. This week, we have our sixth and final panelist in the form of Brandon Smith, who also gives his thoughts on the Welsh squad ahead of the Six Nations. After our chat, I'll read out a full Lions match day 23 as determined by the panel, as well as my own suggestion for what can be done to fix the Lions tour dilemma. So without any further ado, here's how we get on. Now it's time for our back and forward chat, and joining me this week is the sixth and final member of our Lions selector panel. He'll be our Welsh representative, who also hosts the Welsh Rugby Roundup show on Facebook as part of the Great Three Bod Rugby Group. He's making a second appearance on the pod. A warm welcome to Mr. Brandon Smith.
Hello, how are we? Thank you for having me on.
No problem at all. It's always a pleasure. The last time we had John Brandon, it was ahead of Leinster playing the Ospreys. And as we know, things weren't going so well for them then, but they've definitely been looking up since we chatted.
Absolutely, we've been doing so well. It's a nice change from last season, which potentially was one of the worst seasons I've ever had to endure as an Ospreys fan. But we've been playing really well. Toby Booth has got us playing a good, simple, steady style of rugby, which has worked so well. And I think we've had the best free transfer in Pro 14 history, possibly with the signing of Stephen Myler. He's been incredible. And so we're re-signing players to new contracts. Young talents are re-signing again, not heading over to the Scarlets, which is lovely to see. So we're doing well at the minute, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. And, the way things are going, I mean, they chop and change the format of the season every 5 minutes, but which is understandable with all that's going on. But the way things are, I can't see this Rainbow Cup happening. So they're talking about reinstating the playoffs. It's a rumor. Now, they'd want to announce that pretty soon if they're going to do it. But if they do, the Ospreys are well poised to do that. And if that happens, I know I'm thinking 5-6 steps ahead, but they'd be probably going to Connacht in those playoffs, where you're just after winning. So definitely things are looking up for you.
Yeah, for sure. And you know what? What's really nice to see is players such as Rhys Webb, George North, players like these were dropped by Wales. Of course, Webb most recently, but straight away after being dropped by Wales, they've really begun to perform once again for the region, especially George North now, and he's got that call-up back. It just seems to be a steady squad. Everyone knows what their role is, and everyone performs that role well. And as I said, having someone like Stephen Myler around the place, Alan Wynne-Jones, Tipperick, people like that with that experience, helping the younger guys, you just can't say how important that is. And I think we're in a really good spot going forward. Can we beat the likes of Leinster? That's another conversation. Can anyone except for Connacht this season beat the likes of Leinster? That's a different issue. But for us, you know, the expectation at the start of the season was to be building, maybe push for the playoffs. Now, where we are, I couldn't have asked for much more.
Well, I mean, any Leinster fan will tell you that if there's one team in this league that can turn their season around and come back and make a strong second half, it's definitely the Ospreys. I've always called them those pesky birds. That's kind of my nickname for them over the years. So, it's good to see them back playing good rugby again, and hopefully that those playoffs will be expanded. We'll get to see that, which means more rugby for us to watch later in the season. But speaking of more rugby later in the season, we're kind of hoping that there's going to be a Lions tour at this stage, but we're still going to plow ahead with our selector panel. We've had five of the six so far, had some great selections, some great opinions, and, you know, varying ideas and stuff. So all that leaves us in this first round of selections is to get your 15. So why don't you crack on and tell us who you have?
Yeah, I was struggling a little bit with a few players, and I listened to the other guests, and some of them I disagreed with very strongly, and some of them I agreed with. I'm going to try not to do what Warren Gatland did in the last few tours, where he's just picked half the Wales team. I have tried to pick players on form. So starting at the fullback position, I've gone with Stuart Hogg. I just think he's the outstanding fullback at the minute in the British and Irish Isles. Lee Halfpenny, for me, from a Welsh perspective, was someone that I did think about, but I just think Hogg offers that attacking impetus, which cannot be, you just need that, don't you? And I think actually physically and defensively, he's actually okay. And going to Exeter has really improved him. And a lot of these players have had moves in the past few years, which have really benefited their game. The Pro 14, as you will know, it's an okay league, but it's not at the level of the Premiership. It's not at the level of the top 14. So going to that league, I think, has really benefited him. So Stuart Hogg is in at 15 for me. The first player on the wing, I've gone with Liam Williams, playing for Wales and the Scarlets. I think he is an exceptional talent. The only thing I question over him was maybe his discipline a little bit. Of course, the red card against the Cardiff Blues he had was just reckless, stupid, and his comments afterwards just really didn't help. And you can't afford to do something as silly as that on a Lions tour. You know, if he's going to be a crucial part of the team, which you think he will. He's also very comfortable playing at fullback. So if Hogg goes off and you need him to cover at fullback, he can absolutely do that. And he's got experience of winning Grand Slams, playing for Saracens, playing in European Cup finals. Super experienced guy. And I think he's got to be in there for me. And he adds that bit of bite, which isn't a bad thing either, because the South Africans are certainly going to bring the physical game, as we know.
Yeah, it's one thing they say about Sexton as well. And well, they say he's really grumpy, kind of the same way Williams wouldn't have the discipline. But if you take that away from them, they're not the same player. So you have to find a balance. Yeah, no, we've had a couple of Liam Williams shouts so far. Yeah.
Heading to the centres then, Jonathan Davis is first in, another Welshman. A world-class centre, in my opinion, hasn't played much rugby. And that's the difficulty I had with picking this team, is that who knows what's going to happen with the Lions. In a year's time, there may be players who have been playing really well and could be in contention, and I have tried to bear that in mind a little bit. So he hasn't played much rugby, but I think his first game back for the Scarlets after being out injured for over a year, he got a man-of-the-match display. And so the guy is world-class. And I think his kicking game is massively underrated. I think he's a brilliant kicker. And the distance he can get on his kicks, when to get yourself out of pressure, maybe you're on your own 5-metre line and you need to get rid of the ball, he can certainly offer that. And the experience, once again, he's been on tours, he's won Grand Slams, he's won the Pro 14 with Scarlett. So he's a super experienced guy. Alongside him then, an Irishman, Robbie Henshaw, for Ireland and Leinster, once again, just a winner. And he just goes into the team, doesn't he? I was struggling to think of a partner to go alongside Jonathan Davis. I don't feel as if there is another outstanding centre, really, at the minute in the British and Irish Isles. I was looking at England, nobody really came to mind. I was looking at Scotland, nobody came to mind. And here in Wales, that 12 shirt maybe is a little bit up for debate here. So, going alongside Jonathan Davis for sure has got to be Robbie Henshaw. So those are my centre partnerships.
Okay.
On the other wing, going with the Welshman, I've gone with Josh Adams. Now, this may be a little bit controversial. My statement might sound stupid, and I promise it's not my Welshness coming over. I think he's one of the best finishers in the world from 20 metres or less. That guy, if you ask to get in the corner, he's going to get in there. And the Cardiff Blues have a new head coach in place, a new director of rugby, Dai Young, who had a lot of success there. He hasn't really shown it for Cardiff Blues that much. He's shown it a lot for Wales, and I would like him to do it more for the Blues. But finishing ability, you know, if you need someone to get in the corner and him to finish, he will certainly do that. And defensively, he puts in a shift as well and he gets involved. Something that I was thinking about, maybe Johnny May or someone like that. But Johnny May doesn't get involved physically enough for me. And as I said before, against the South Africans, it's going to be physical. If you get front ball, if you win the game line, if you win the physical battle, you're more than likely going to win the game. And that's why I've gone with Josh Adams on the wing.
That's a definitely a good shout. Now into the halfbacks.
So playing at 10, in my opinion, probably the best fly half in the world, or certainly the best attacking fly half in the world, is Finn Russell. We had this chat recently on the Welsh Rugby Roundup show about him heading over to Racing and what a difference it's made. And we had the Scotsman saying that playing in such a physical league, playing in such a higher level league, has really developed his game and really improved him. And I think that, you know, little aspects of his game, his kicking game is underrated as well. Defensively, puts in a shift. The only concern I would have about him is his passes are ridiculously good. They are world-class. 40-yard launches across the pitch. It's beautiful. But when it doesn't come off, because of the risk, it's high risk, but big dangers, isn't there, with him. And I don't know. Part of me was thinking about Farrell at 10. You bring Russell on later on when the game maybe opens up a bit and you can run out some tired South African props. But I think I would start him. I think he's shown that level over the past 2 years consistently that he probably is the best attacking fly half in the world. So he goes in at 10.
Okay.
And then at 9, this was a really interesting one for me because I recently did a video on my channel about the scrum half situation in Wales because I think the shirt is up for debate. And I was actually looking at Thomas Williams' stats for the Cardiff Blues this season. And the guy is ridiculous. He's had such a good season. I think he's played 6 games, had a try, which is fine. But his clean breaks are off the charts. His offloads are off the charts. His try assists. Defensively, he's got a really good tackling success rate. And I know people would then say, okay, but he's playing in the Pro 14 and it's not the level of the Premiership. But Ben Youngs doesn't scream to me that he's really there anymore. Scotland, Ali Price isn't someone that I would want to start. Conor Murray, well, yeah, Conor Murray. John Cooney is an interesting one. John Cooney is someone that it blows my mind how this guy is not in the Irish squad. He is the form 9 in the Pro 14. He's probably the best 9 except for Dupont in Europe at the minute. How this guy is not in the team, I don't know. But if he's not playing for Ireland, should he really be picked for the Lions? I struggle with that a little bit. So I have gone with Thomas Williams, but John Cooney's pushing really, really close. Thomas Williams goes on the tour for me. I probably wouldn't even take Ben Youngs with me, personally. So that's how I see it. So my halfback pairing would be Finn Russell and Thomas Williams. The speed of ball, the way they'd look to get the ball out quickly. And, you know, Thomas Williams, he sees a gap and he goes for it. And that's something that I think we can use well against the power and the physicality of the South Africans.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, yeah, because you've got Russell's creativity there. And that's the kind of, you need someone in there to try to make things happen. If you're up against a stubborn defense that's attacking you every way that's going, you're going to have to find ways. And he's certainly one. I mean, sometimes he might go for something that isn't on, but like you say, playing in France, that's the French style. That's the perfect way to play that kind of rugby. So it's kind of suited him doing there. As for Williams, yeah, I mean, the thing about Wales seemed to come up with a world class 9 that's in the news like every 5 minutes these days. They're kind of cycling between Webb, Davies, and Williams, and you see them. You see each one play, and you're like, well, who else are you going to have? You're going to pick this guy, but then you see someone else, and you're like, It's a tough decision, but he's kind of a flavor of the month, I know there. And as for Cooney, well, the form he's shown for Ulster, he basically, when Ruan Pienaar left, the fans were like, they saw Cooney for a while, and they're like, Ruan who? I mean, he really took over the mantle playing that kind of a creative 9.5 kind of role. And but the only the problem with him is that when he did get picked for the Ireland squad, he earned his pick. But he went into a completely different team with a completely different setup. And he wasn't allowed to play the way he can play. He's the kind of guy, when you're told, well, you see a gap, but you know that the team's set up for a box kick and that's what you've got to do. That's going to go against your DNA, but you still have to do it. So he's kind of had the shackles put on him. He would definitely be a good call. Well, that's a good lineup for the backs there. So let's see who you've got in the pack.
So yeah, starting with the props, maybe a little bit of a controversial one, but I was struggling with the props a little bit, but I've got with Marco Vunipola. He hasn't played all that much. Obviously, Saracens aren't playing much rugby at all at the minute. And the only game they've played, they've actually managed to lose somehow, which is very interesting. But again, experience of playing in huge games, being on tours before. I looked at Wales. I don't feel like any of our props really are in contention, although Gatlin might have some other ideas about that. But I certainly would go with Mako to wear the number 1 shirt. And I just think he's the best suited for that position. I was struggling to think of anyone else, to be honest. And then it's an Englishman at hooker as well, Jamie George at hooker as well. Brilliant, brilliant player. So, so good. Comfortable in the loose, decent with his lineouts as well. And obviously he has that relationship with Mako. You know, you cannot underestimate the power of that, of, you know what each other are going to do. You have that communication. It helps so much. And as you see with Ireland, for instance, with, I know it's different positions, but Conor Murray and Sexton, I think that's why that halfback pairing stays together so much, is because they know each other so well. If you try and put a Cooney with a Sexton, does it work? I'm not too sure. Mm. So Mako and Jamie George. And then finally, an Irishman, I put Furlong in to play in the number three shirt. Again, vastly experienced, has been on tours before, a winner, of course, with Leinster so many times, and with Ireland as well. So that is my front row. And I think that'll be a good front row, a physical front row who want to get involved in the game. Mm-hmm. And I think Furlong going forward and with ball in hand is criminally underrated. I think he's very comfortable with ball in hand. So I think this team will certainly, this front row will certainly help with the scrummaging, because we know South Africa are going to be good at that, but also the physical game as well in the loose, maybe something we can get won over them.
Yeah, I mean, Furlong got his first 40 minutes in over a year against the Scarlets at the weekend, and pretty much every carry, every Leinster fan, well, Leinster and Ireland fan, was crossing their fingers, hoping he got through it okay. But he seemed to be, he wasn't shy of the carrying, and it was a good run for him. So we'll see how he gets on in the Six Nations. Okay, into the second round.
Oh, this is going to be a controversial one. I know people are going to hate me for this. I've gone with Alan Wynn. Okay, I've gone with Alan Wynne-Jones. I know people say he's past it, but I can't have that, basically, as a Welshman. I think, okay, physically, he maybe isn't at where he was. Maybe, you know, that maybe is a little bit of an issue. But I actually think he's like a wine. He's got better with age. His experience, his decision-making on the pitch is ridiculous. His tackling stats are crazy. They're off the charts. And his leadership quality, his leadership is amazing. I mean, when we played against England last year in the Six Nations, you compare his leadership to Owen Favell, who was captain for England at the time. I mean, England went into collapse and Favell couldn't say anything. And yet, Alan Wynne comes along and says, right, this is an opportunity. Let's go for it. Let's push for it. And just the way he's carried himself, he's such a professional. He's such a good spokesman for the team. He's got to be in there for me. And when he retires, I will build him a statue myself outside of the municipality. Alan Wynne is in for me. I know people are going to hate me for it. I know people are going to say I'm being silly and I should have looked at someone else. But Alan Wynne-Jones for me. And I think he should be captain on the tour as well.
Okay. And with him?
Itoje. Mauro Itoje. World class. I heard Debbie's chat with you. She said the word world class. Absolutely agree. Again, though, hasn't played much rugby, but the guy is young. He's future captain material, isn't he? And he will be on the next 2-3 tours, maybe. So going in with Alan Wynne, Itoje can do the running. Alan Wynne can do the talking and tell people what to do. And I think that pairing will be very good. And both of them are very good in the line out as well. Yeah. So good options.
Yeah, you're probably doing yourself a disservice there, you know, defending Alan Wynne, because especially with this lineup as you have it now, we still to get to the back row. But I mean, in terms of experience, in terms of, you know, you want the younger guys, you want the skillful guys, you want the creative guys. I mean, like you said it all about him in terms of leadership. I mean, he exudes leadership and always has since he came up to the senior level. So he's a good shot for this 15 anyway. And so let's see who your back row is. That's been always the sticking point with a lot of the selectors so far.
Well, the back row, I think we've got an incredible amount of talent in these positions. I mean, these guys are not in my team. So you've got people like Hamish Watson, who I think is an incredible player and should definitely go on the tour. You got people like Tipperick, who I don't think he's at the level of where he was maybe when we won our last Grand Slam, but he's certainly still a fantastic player. You've got so many young players coming through in that position in Wales as well. You've got someone like Wainwright, who maybe is an outside shout. You've got Jamie Ritchie out of Scotland as well. But I have gone with two Englishmen. I have gone with Underhill and Curry. I just think that partnership works so well for them. They can both play both positions quite comfortably, I think. And the crazy thing about them, when I was researching into this, Underhill's only 24, Tom Curry's only 22, which is madness to think. And I know that Underhill's playing for a club which is struggling at the minute in Bath. I mean, they got absolutely battered by Bristol. And Coey's playing for Sale are going okay. But you know what? Both of them are world-class. We'll bring the physical game. Again, happy in the loose, comfortable to play with ball in hand. Coey's shown that he's able to score tries. Underhill will probably do more of the tackling, more of the defending. And then Coey will have the ball in hand a lot more, I think. But I think that back row is really exciting. But again, having the option of a Hamish Watson on the bench, a Wainwright on the bench, maybe an Omani on the bench is a really exciting idea of having that. So I've gone with Underhill and Coey. Okay. I love Tipperick, but I probably wouldn't even take him on the tour. So
there's certainly a lot of competition in the back row. And those two, I mean, when you think about it from 2 years ago, I mean, they pretty much came out of nowhere when it comes to Test rugby, but they've shown for England, it's like, it's almost a telepathic understanding. Like, you know, the, if one stays out of a breakdown while the other goes in, and the next one, he is in the next one. So you're bound to, when you're trying to carry the ball, you're bound to come up against one of them, trying to keep them off, getting over the balls. So it's definitely an advantage to have them together. So that just leaves number eight.
Number eight for me, I've got to put another Welshman in there, haven't I? Talupe Faletau.
Yep.
He's an interesting one, isn't he? Because he's had so many injuries. He got concussed in a game recently, came off, came back on, and was okay. Played against Bristol. I mean, again, we've alluded to that game. For me, he's world-class. I genuinely think he's world-class. And again, just our ability with ball in hand, experience as well. I was thinking of someone like Billy Vunipola, but the issue I have with him is very one-dimensional. You know what he's going to do. So if you put a big guy on, you know, where he's going to run. He's going to pick the ball off the base of the scrum. He's just going to run, isn't he? He's not going to do anything else.
And he's going to be running into a wall of beef South African back rowers as well. So, yeah, no, you're right. If they know what he's going to do, they could neutralise him.
Exactly. And so Faletau isn't maybe as physical as Vunipola, but again, very comfortable with ball in hand. If we're going to beat the South African team, we're going to have to play around them a little bit. Mm. We are obviously going to have to win the physical battle to earn the right and the platform to play, because if we try and play too early, I think this defence will just stifle us and will just squash us in. But we have to win that physical battle, but then we have to look for players who are going to be able to open defences. I mean, we didn't mention it with the wingers. I know we're jumping back a long way here, but someone maybe like a Darcy Graham is someone we should be thinking about. Someone who can open the defence. You look at South Africa, they've got a Cheslin Kolbe, who, I mean, his feet are frightening. I worry for some of our props in 60 minutes gone in the third test, and he gets the ball in a bit of space. I worry a little bit, but I think Faletau will just offer that, that little bit more, that little bit more all-roundedness that we'll need for this team. I think that team's a really strong team. I think it's a good mix of youth, experience, physicality, skills, speed. I think it's a good team. Will Gatland pick it? I don't know. We might see 10 Welshmen in the first team, so we don't know.
No, it's definitely a good team. And just one question. Now, I haven't asked anyone to name a bench, and I'm not going to ask you just for the full bench, but I'm just wondering, if you were to put this team out, would you definitely have Owen Farrell on the bench?
I don't see the point having him on the bench if you're not going to start him, because, you know, well, what does he offer off the bench? Does he offer anything different? But then again, what other fly half do you have on the bench? What does Bigger bring on? I don't see what he brings on. What does Hastings bring on for Scotland, from Scotland? Not much. George Ford, what does he bring on? Sexton, what does he bring? So it's very difficult to think of who would you have as the backup. And that's why I was struggling with the idea of starting Russell. But I think he's so good that you have to start him. Again, it depends next year. Someone like a Marcus Smith may have worked his way into the England squad and may have been playing really well for the year and is an outside shout. Or, you know, maybe Anscombe's back in full fitness and has had a really good year for Wales. It's a big debate, isn't it? It's difficult to know. I probably wouldn't have Fowler on the bench. I don't see why he offers coming on the pitch, to be honest.
I didn't mean to drop you in it there. It was just interesting. How if he's not starting, he's one of those players. If he's not starting, do you have him, like, you know, or would you have someone more reliable? I just thought I'd ask. What we'll do is we'll press on. Thanks for that. That's a great 15, and we'll probably, you know, whether the tour goes ahead or not, We'll come back to you later, maybe after the Six Nations, and see have you made any changes. But speaking of the tour itself, I just want to quickly ask before we get into this match on Sunday, what would be the ideal way that, you know, we've heard loads of suggestions, move the tour to next year, play in the UK, the Aussies threw in an option there. There's a lot of different ways. What would be the one quickly one ideal solution you think to get in this tour place?
I think you've got to postpone it till next year until fans can be there. A tour is all about the fans. It's all about the experience of going there. I was hoping to go this year, obviously. It's probably not going to be an option. Playing in Australia doesn't make any sense because it's a tour to South Africa. It's not a tour to Australia. You might as well call it a mini World Cup because you're playing in a different country on a neutral venue. Playing in the UK, again, it's not a tour then, is it? So postpone it for a year. Get the fans there. Businesses rely on this tour so much to actually happen and have fans go over. That travelling companies, agencies, all kind of things depend on this. So postpone it for a year and we can enjoy it in all its glory. We've seen rugby without fans. We've heard the fake crowd noise. This Six Nations can be difficult to watch. But, you know, having fans there is what makes a tour a tour. So postpone it for a year. That's what I'd like to see happen.
Hopefully, whatever they do, they announce something soon, because it's the kind of thing, you know, you need some kind of clarity on that going into the summer, so we know where we're going. But anyway, listen, thanks for that. And we'll move on to the Six Nations starting this weekend. I mean, the last time Ireland visited the Principality Stadium, well, we won a game in the World Cup warm-ups, but the last time it mattered was the day you won the Grand Slam, and before going on to obviously getting within with 3 points of a World Cup final. So that was an amazing time. But then Wayne Pivak took over and things haven't quite gone as well since, but this is as good a chance as any for him to get things back on track. I mean, how's the squad looking at the moment?
I think Pivak's picked a very safe squad. I think that's how I would describe it. In the autumn, we saw a lot of youngsters coming in, people like Johan Lloyd coming in, someone who'd hardly really played for Bristol and all of a sudden was getting a Wales call-up, which is fantastic that we're looking towards youth. But again, the performances were certainly not there. A few interesting omissions of the squad. Rhys Webb playing really, really well for Ospreys and was left out. Kieran Hardy picked, which I don't understand that pick at all, to be honest. He's hardly played this season. When he has, he's played pretty poorly. On the whole, as I said, the squad is very, very safe. It's a safe squad. And Pivak realises he's under pressure. And I alluded this to this on my channel a few times over the past few videos, is that if Wales have a really poor Six Nations, and I'm not hoping for this, of course, but if we don't see a development, we don't see players really buying into this style, now, at the end of the Six Nations, would be the right time to say, okay, Pivak, it's not worked. We're looking towards the next World Cup. You cut your losses there. So it'll be interesting to see. We got you guys up first. I think both teams are quite in a similar position. Maybe you're a little bit further ahead than us. I hope to see us actually defend our wing this time and not give, of course, Stockdale won't be playing this time, but Stockdale had half the pitch to play without the Aviva, which was quite something. And poor George North, that's probably where he lost his confidence in that one, because Stockdale just ran circles around him. But I think this team is a safe team. That's what I'd say it is. And I think he'll pick a strong 15, be a cagey game. But how confident am I going into the Six Nations in general? If we get 3 wins, I think it's a success. And I think if we see players really buy into this style and really go for it, I think that would be a successful Six Nations.
Yeah, you answered my question before I was going to ask it. I was going to ask you, what's the line for Pivak in this? So if he managed 3 wins, anything less than that, and he's, well, there'd be rumblings, I suppose, in the press and everything about him if a couple of results don't go away. And this one, having this one first is going to be a real cup final for both coaches, kind of thing, because it's a game that both would need that win to carry forward with, you know, having had uncertain results in the past. But anyway, listen, you know, it's never a dull day when Wales and Ireland are facing each other. So I hope it goes well. You know, it's like, obviously, you know, we'll both be rooting for our boys, but we'll see how that shows up. And for the you know, for the whole Six Nations, who do you fancy? Like, what would, if you had to pick, if you had to pick one team now, gun to your head?
I think it's between two teams. I think it's between France and England. A lot rides on that opening game for England. If England get a really good win against Scotland, which I'm saying Scotland are going to be dark horses this season, I think they could do something. I want to back France, but their injury list looks quite concerning, to be honest. Losing Vakatawa, who is just an unreal player, losing Ntamack at 10, although Jalibert came in and did well. If you'd asked me this after round one, I'd have been able to give you a much better answer, because France obviously have Italy up first, which you'd expect them to steamroll the Italians, who are certainly going to get the wooden spoon. I'm going to back the French to do it. I think the French will do it this year. I think that this will be the year they'll do it. I don't think there'll be a Grand Slam. I think it's going to be a very cagey Six Nations. I think it'll open up later in the tournament. The first two rounds might be a little bit cagey, but I'm going to back France to win this year's Six Nations. I'm not just saying that because I'm Welsh either.
Oh, sure. Say it all you want. You know, no. The thing about the Six Nations is, I mean, I haven't done the research on this, but of all the competitions that are one of the biggest in its actual sport, it's one of the very few that has no warm-ups. Most like American sports have an exhibition season. You've got preseason friendlies. Coaches have chances to test their combinations. But the Six Nations, it's like, you know, you had games back in November. You got to be happy with that. Boom. And play. So it's the same for us fans. It's picking before the competition starts is almost part of the fun, because you've no idea, nothing really to go on apart from how they played for their clubs. So that's an interesting take on it, you know? So anyway, listen, thanks again for that. Be sure to everyone check out Brandon's Welsh Rugby Roundup show on Facebook. I'll put the link in the program notes, and we'll hope to have you on again soon. Thanks for joining us on the Harpen Rugby podcast.
Always a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Thanks again to Brandon for the chat. So with all the first round of selections from our panelists now in, here's how our combined match day 23 is looking. At 15, Stuart Hogg, he was the unanimous choice for fullback. At 14, some players were picked on opposite wings by different panelists, so I went with overall votes cast, which left me with Liam Williams on 3 votes on the right wing. In the centre, Jonathan Davis takes the 13 jersey with 3 votes, while Henshaw got 4 altogether, but 3 of those were at 12, so he's in there. Left wing number 11 goes to Johnny May, who got 4 shouts overall. Out half was a tight call, as both Owen Farrell and Finn Russell got 3 votes each, but since Faz was also named at 12 by 2 panellists, he should get the nod. Connor Murray gets the 9 jersey thanks to his 3 votes. Now to the packs, where things were a lot more straightforward, as all but one earned a majority of votes. The front row was Mako Vunipola, Jamie George and Tyke Furlong, with Marwa Toje and James Ryan in the second row. Curry and Underhill are the flankers, while Faletau slots in at number 8. And since we now have 15s from all our panel, I can also fill out a bench based on the votes cast, so here it is. 16, Cowan Dickey, 17, Sutherland, 18, Sinclair, 19, Alan Wynne-Jones, 20, Doris, 21, Cooney, 22, Russell, and 23, Watson. I had to pick between Watson and Slade for that 23 jersey, but I went with Watson since he can cover the wing, and should a centre get injured, then Russell could come in, moving Farrell over to 12. So that's how our line selection is looking after the first round, and assuming all goes well with the Six Nations, I'm hoping to go back to the panel a second time to see if they've spotted any performances that changes their minds. As for the tour itself, I'd just like to add my own thoughts on how it could proceed. Clearly the choice of having it this year in South Africa without crowds is a non-runner. For me, holding it back until next summer wouldn't be ideal for test coaches, who will probably want that window to help prepare for the 2023 World Cup. That Australia option probably won't work either, but in fairness, it at least offered an element of thinking outside the box, once of course you spell that B-O-K-S. Sorry. Anyway, in the spirit of suggestions from left field, I'd like to offer another one. First, I'd say play the series this summer in closed arenas in the UK and Ireland. Of course it won't be the same, but nothing about rugby is these days, and matches somewhere are always better than matches nowhere in my book. Then if anything can be pushed back, it can be tours by the Lions Nations for 2022. And instead, how about all 4 travel to South Africa for a mini tournament with 5 or maybe even a 6th nation like Argentina? Assuming travel is okay by what then, this way the Lions fans can still go, the test coaches will still have some rugby, and presumably the local economy will still get a boost. No doubt there's as much wrong with that as there is right, but I just thought I'd throw it into the mix for good measure. Right, that's it for this week. Stay tuned to HarpingOnRugby.net as ever for our daily coverage, and be sure to hop on our Facebook page after full time on Sunday to leave your thoughts. In the meantime, stay safe, everyone. Slán.